Morning. What an incredible atmosphere here this morning, isn't it? Just great. So, let me not take up any more time here. We're spending 4 weeks talking about being good stewards. And we've already covered a couple of angles of that. Alistair talked about justice and how we deal with that in the world in which we live as Christians. And then last week we talked about almost like stewarding our community through engagement and influence as Christians. I'm taking it on to the third one before Pete talks about stewarding creation next week. And talking about the personal implication of this. And I want to say sort of up front, and I'm going to move pretty quickly through this, that I really believe that where I want to go with this morning is very fundamental to our life and existence. And for those of us that believe in God, this has to be the basis upon which our lives exist and operate. So without any further ado, there's going to be a number of scriptures. Some of them are on the screen, some of them are not. But let me kick off with this. Psalm 24, not that yet, sorry, back a bit, Jean. Reverse. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is, anybody? The Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas, and he established it upon the waters. If you've been a Christian a few years, you'll probably be reasonably familiar with that, partly because it comes after Psalm 23, probably the most famous psalm. And the suggestion is that this statement was written at a time when Israel were being re-established and that Ark of the Covenant was being brought back into Jerusalem and the people were celebrating. However, David, who was the king, he was a successful king, but the reality is that Israel were just a small, quite, in terms of worldly understanding, quite a small and insignificant nation. And anybody looking around would see the Egyptians, they would see the Assyrians, powerful big nations, far, far bigger than the one that David sort of headed up. But David has got a sort of wide focus on all of this. And realizing that sort of thinking was going on in the background, he declares this for anybody who is listening and for the generations right down to us to come. The earth, whether you're Assyrian, Egyptian, an Israeli, or whatever language, creed, color you are, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Almost in our modern language, the person who owns the deeds to this property, earth, is God. Now, why is that foundational? Because my opening statement with this is that you and I, wherever we have gone in life, however good we have been, prosperous we've been, in the light of that, we actually don't own anything. Hear that. Pause, exclamation mark. We actually don't own anything. Everything we have has come from God. Therefore, we are stewards. The New Testament word for stewardship, O-I-K-O-N-O-M-I-A, oikonomia, from which we get, if you've sussed that there, our word economy. Not something we hear much about these days. And that word has its root in the word responsibility. So a steward administers the affairs and possessions of another. God is the another, and we are the stewards, the administrators of all that we have and all that is around us. Let's put it into a Bible context. It all begins in Genesis, right at the beginning of the Bible. I've not got time this morning to sort of read it. If you're familiar with it, you'll know. If not, just have a look for yourself. But in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, you get the real, you know, that whole, you know, initiation of creation. And God as the owner begins to sort of almost dish out the parameters in which Adam and Eve, the stewards, are going to operate. So the most famous one that we would all know is that in looking around, he goes, you can have whatever you want here, but that tree there, no, 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 no. That makes stewardship not an event, not a moment, but a lifestyle. And what I want to sort of get across in these few minutes this morning, that what we are talking about is a frame of mind based on the fact that we have received Christ. We accept that God is the giver, restorer, sustainer of all things. And therefore, in whatever we do, we are submitted to his will, to his purpose, to his agenda, as we steward the things that we have around us and within us that are part of our home. Now, let's go New Testament a little bit. In terms of it being a frame of mind, here's a verse. It's a bit of a random one, but it's a great one. In 2 Corinthians, Paul's talking to them about a collection. They're wanting to help the people in Jerusalem sort of, you know, get to grips with helping people around them, serving the poor, building the church. And so all the churches in the New Testament are invited to sort of be part of, I guess in our language, an offering. Probably wasn't quite like that. And Paul says this, now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Listen to this. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and extreme poverty welled up in generosity. No. How out of extreme poverty does generosity come into this? What Paul's trying to express to the people around is something of what we're trying to get hold of this morning. That it actually isn't about abundance. It's actually about the way that we see God, the way that we see Scripture, the way that we understand all this that connects together around us. So how do you give out of extreme poverty? It's a faith and frame of mind issue, not simply an abundance. Jesus highlighted it. I just love this scene. You read about it in certainly in the Synoptic Gospels in Mark 12. I don't know whether you think Jesus was being a bit of a nosy beggar here, but it says that he took a stool and he sat outside the place where they gave the offering. If you know your Bible, you remember this moment. And the thing that's noted is that he sees a widow come and give what we refer to now as the widow's mite. A little bit. She's got nothing. She's a widow. She's got nobody around. She's got very small possessions. Jesus highlights this. And why does he do it? Well, there's a number of things we could pick and poke out of it. But the one thing that's key to us this morning is that he saw that here was a woman with a frame of mind that trusted God, that even in the little that she had, she wanted to be generous with it. And there's a word you're going to hear once or twice here. Now, when it comes to time and when it comes to money, they're two very different things in the sense that we all have the same amount of time. But of course, we don't all have the same amount of money. However, the one connecting thing between the two, and Jesus highlights it in a number of ways, and certainly the modern translations use the word, that we should be generous with both of those things. Pause again. The challenge is there for us as Christian people. How generous are you with your time, with your thought for others, with the way that you can help and support? You might not have the abundance, but somehow in there, there's a sense of generosity, the sense of giving to somebody's life in whatever way it can be. A generous frame of mind with both. So, one or two bits here, and then I'm going to invite Pam just to come and say something. How do we begin to not just agree with what we're saying here, that we are just stewards of all that God has given, blessed, and surrounded us with? How does that begin to work? How does generosity express itself? Let me just throw a load of things in here. Number one, Let me encourage you to develop good habits, particularly in the season that we're in at the moment with everything that's going on politically. I'm not here to make political comments. And whatever you think about what's going on, there are people, some of them here this morning, who are struggling. Not just, I don't mean just struggling in terms of money in the bank to pay the whatever, whatever, but almost the emotional affliction that that brings of thinking about the kids and the future and all the surrounding things that, that torment people's minds to varying degrees. Develop good habits like care for your family. Forget church for me. My number one church is my family. And I want them to know God, and I want to be able to talk to them about God in a way, you know. And you know, if we built a church of 30,000 here and my family were walking away from God, that would be my greatest disappointment. Care for your family. Live within your means. Never has that been a more poignant statement to make as Christian believers. Set the example. Give to God. That's part of the stewardship of everything that we have being God's. Recognize, and I think certainly in an area like Litchfield, that comparison creates dissatisfaction. And comparison is a toxic thing, cancerous. It eats us in every way. Suddenly we hear that, I don't know, somebody's kids have done very well in exams. And it eats us a little bit because our kids are not built that way. They're not wired in that academic way, or promotions or other things that come in there that we rejoice in, that we say, may God continue to bless you and make you fruitful. But let's not allow comparison to create dissatisfaction. It will eat us. And in whatever way we give, thinking particularly about giving to God and to his kingdom, it's not simply about money or time, it's about life. What do I mean by that? Hypothetically, if you give £50 to the church, to charity, to whatever, and you earn 25 quid an hour, you're not just giving £50, you're giving effectively 2 hours of your life. There's something of you that's being given to others. And I think that helps us powerfully when we're talking about stewarding all that God has given us. This isn't just, you know, Steve and Maria need paying, let's throw a few quid in there. No. It's much deeper and more fundamental in our lives and in our response to all that God has done. Develop good habits. Recognize that comparison creates dissatisfaction. Recognize that giving is about life. And one thing that I think is so important, particularly if your parents here, teach value, not cost. I beg you, today. Because I want to wander into a few Bible verses, but I've asked Pam she ran our first cap night this week, and she's been looking at this so powerfully, particularly in terms of money and all that sort of thing, and I've asked her just to come and bring us a statement here out of her heart for Cap. Pam?
Thank you, Steve. As we all know, God is our provider, giving us what we need, whether that be a little or a lot. In return, God asks of us that we honour his name and that we're good stewards, taking care of the gifts that he has given us. However, sometimes we can struggle to do this as the unexpected takes us through life's difficulties, life's ups and downs. This could be for many reasons. Changes in our work, our health, or even in more buoyant times where we've become more self-centred rather than God-centred. Through all of this, God gives us security, for we know he never leaves us. He's always there, right by our side. God provides an anchor, Jesus, and together with our families, our friends, and our church family, he will guide us through, giving us the love, the strength, and the resources we need to get back on track. And just to say that anybody wants to chat to me at any time about CAP, I'm here most Sundays. So thank you.
There is tons of Bible that I could throw at you this morning. What angle do we take about this? I think in just in the few minutes I've got here, if this is about a mindset or a frame of mind, then we have to mentally calculate what we're going to do. There are times when we do respond, when Pudsey Bear comes on the telly and we want to throw a few quid, nothing wrong with all of that. But for our general lives, there's a sort of wisdom and calculation we want to go. So I've just picked five or six Bible verses here, and they're going to be on the screen for you. Listen to this, Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That's not about you knowing when you're going to pass from this life. It's about the fact that we accept that for the general sense of it, there's the 70 years and 10. And we want to make sure that within the division of that, we act with wisdom and understanding, calculating the way that we operate. Luke 6, verse 38. Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That's the owner speaking to the stewards. Here we go again, Ephesians 5, 15, 16. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Proverbs, there's got to be something from Proverbs. The plans of the diligent lead to profit. Just hover around that word diligent for a second or two. What it means to you and what your dictionary definition of it would be. The plans of the diligent, those are thoughtful and wise, lead to profit. As surely as haste leads to poverty. And then just this two or three verses from Luke chapter 16. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. That's a mindset. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? And then this famous bit at the end. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. They are very strong words that Jesus spoke. You cannot serve both God and money. The suggestion there is, what is the dictator of our lives? Because when it comes to things dictating our lives and addiction and all that sort of thing, the call of the New Testament, the call of Christ, is for us to live free. Jesus calls us to freedom. So a couple of questions. Do we trust God with our future? I'm not asking you to shout out or anything. Just in terms of the mindset that you have in everything that you approach, and perhaps some of the struggles that you may be having now, whether they are financial, relational, family, do you trust God? Do you trust your future to God? Key, fundamental about how we operate and work. The other question is this. Do we recognize God as the source of everything? So let me land this. I know Mark loves me saying that. Are you running on gas? Yeah, some of you got it. G-A-S. And this is my ending question in just these few minutes of talking about stewarding. Are you running on gas? And it's a simple yes or no. Number one, you accept the fact that God owns everything. Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Number two, the A, do you accept what you have? Hebrews 13:5, keep lives free from the love of money, because the love of money, you know the rest of it. Philippians 4, how about this? An interesting one. And if you've been a Christian a long time, you'll probably quoted this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. People just throw that at any situation. And I've heard people throw back at them and go like to some bloke, go on then, have a baby. I heard that once, like, you know, like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And there's nothing wrong particularly with looking at that and identifying God in that sort of way. But what Paul's talking about there, if you read back in Philippians 4 and the statements before it, he's saying, I have known what it is to have plenty and I've known what it is to have little. I've known the contentment of having plenty and being able to operate there. I've known the contentment of having little and being able to operate there, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's got a context that lands it right there into a real situation, not just abandoned statement to say, I can do anything because Christ is with me. In dealing with our lives and stewarding our lives, Paul's saying, you know, whether you're there, whether you're anywhere in between, the frame of mind, the confidence that we have in God is that I can do all things. I can operate there because God is my source and I trust him with my future. And if you're running on gas, the G is God's owns everything. The A is accept what we have. And of course, the S is Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and everything else will come your way. Everything else will be added to you. So, one final thing. Are you running on gas? One of the teachers came to Jesus one day in the way that they did, trying to prod and poke and trip him up, trying to see how he answered this. He was a teacher, so he had intelligence, he understood the law. And he said, What Jesus, what do you see as the greatest commandment? And if you know the Bible, you know that Jesus responded in a brilliant way. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. I think that sums up so much of these last, I don't know, while that I've been speaking here. If the greatest thing that Jesus commands us to do is that, then let's do it. Our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. Right behind this, what you want, our heart, our emotions, our feeling, that internal, you know, joy and turmoil that we feel responding to situations, our soul, our personality, the quirkiness that makes me, Steve, separate from you. You're saying thank God to that right now. My emotions, my feelings, my personality, my mind, my understanding, my direction, my thought process, and my strength, the physical side of who I am and what I am. Love the Lord your God with every jolly thing that's part of you. And then your neighbor alongside. So, what's got your grip? I'm finished. Go back to that original verse and actually look at it for yourself today and say, do I believe? Do I believe that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it? That actually God has the deeds to this property called earth. And I'm just here for the years that I'm here and I'm blessed with what I've got around me, but I'm just a steward. And therefore, I want to have a mindset that makes me part of not just a community of faith, but a community around. As we often say here, we are blessed to be a blessing. Whatever. Irrespective of bank balance, irrespective of letters behind our name, irrespective of influence in a community, they're all good. Use them. That's what this whole thing's about. Use them with wisdom, calculated wisdom. But recognize that our future is in God's hands and he is the source of all things. If you're happy to do so, just bow your heads, and I'm going to invite the guys to just come up and take us in a song. But I just want to pray. Sometimes these are difficult things to talk about. Our possessions, our stuff, our lives, our homes, our whatever you want to call it. But we need to recognize it in the place where it sits, in the balance that it has in our lives. And if any of these things have been a direct provocation and we believe the Holy Spirit is speaking, then, hey, talk to Pam, talk to myself. I'd love to pray with you and help. And as a church, we want to advise and bring some wisdom based on what we believe God is about for you and me. So, Father, we just open your word up now and thank you, Lord, that it will accomplish what you set it out to do. Cause us to respond that we are burning on full gas, that you are the source of everything and our future rests in your hands, and therefore with confidence we can live the way that you've called us to live. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that all this is based on your love filling our lives.